Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say, I know he said it too, but it's a great honor to be able to stand up here and, you know, speak the truth of God's word to you all. So I thank you for your willingness to listen to me, and I pray that God would speak to your hearts this morning. This will be a little longer. I know you're used to just hearing me for the announcements, a little, like 3 minutes, but this will be a little bit longer than 3 minutes, so don't fall asleep. And if you do, make sure you hold your Bible so I can't tell. Amen to that. Caden got baptized. That was just so exciting to see, and it should really warm our hearts and fill us with joy. So I just wanted to mention that. But before we get started here, let's do our mission verse that we've been doing. If you're new, which a lot of people are, then I guess just pretend you know what you're saying, but we'll do our mission verse here, so I'll get us started, and then we'll finish it. Go, therefore, well, that side was like 2 seconds behind this side, but other than that, that was pretty good, guys. Good job. Okay, so if you have a Bible, open with me to Genesis chapter 7. And while you're turning there, just allow me to pray again to get my heart right. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, come to you today, and I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray that they wouldn't listen to the words I say, but that they would listen to the words that you say. Lord, I pray that the gospel would be clearly presented, and that we would leave changed and impacted by your word, Lord. We thank you for your word and for the ability to meet as a body of believers. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week, Josh preached the second half of Genesis chapter 6. Where we left off, Noah had been given instructions about how to build the ark. He saw the lengths of the different, you know, the different pieces, the type of wood to build it out of, and in what all he should bring on the ark. We saw that Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him to do. By looking at the previous verses, God revealed that the nature of God is holy, just, sovereign, and faithful. So those are all the things that Josh talked about last week. These are all key elements of God, but in today's message, we're going to really focus in on how the nature of God is just. God is going to bring his judgment on the wickedness of this world by flooding the earth and blotting out all living things. If you came here this morning to hear a message that makes you feel good about yourself, then you probably won't like today's message. This is a message about the judgment of God. I mean, Noah's Ark isn't like a happy, exciting story. But by looking at chapter 7 of Genesis, we can learn that we need to be prepared to face the judgment of God because he keeps his promises. So by looking at this chapter, we will learn how we can survive God's judgment like Noah, instead of ending up like the rest of the people who were blotted out because of their sins. So let's stand together as we read Genesis chapter 7, starting in verse 1. It says this, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground.' And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him." Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives went with him into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean and of birds and of every living thing that creeps on the ground, 2 and 2, male and female, went onto the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. And rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those who entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded them. Him. And the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The water increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The water prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heavens were covered. The water prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. You may be seated. Okay, now that I'm out of breath and I'm sure you guys are all ready to sit down. So what does this mean? I can't just sit up here and read it. So what does this mean? So the first thing that Moses mentioned here to the Israelites is the character of Noah. Moses mentioned that Noah was righteous before God. God told Noah all the things that he would have to do, and Noah did them. Noah obeyed the commandments of God. Look again at what verse 1 says. It says that Noah was righteous. Then in verse 2 it says that God told Noah to get 7 pairs of all clean animals onto the ark. God tells Noah that in 7 days he will send rain on the earth. He says that the rain won't stop for 40 days and that he will blot out every living thing from the face of the earth. Then verse 5 says that Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. The thing I want you guys to notice here is that Noah was seen as righteous before God. Because Noah was seen as righteous before God, he and his family are spared from the judgment that God unleashed when he sent the flood. This shows God's grace. God could have sent the flood and killed everything. As Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." But instead, God spared Noah from dying, from a death that he deserved because he sinned just like everyone else. A few months ago, we talked about Genesis chapter 3. In chapter 3, God made a promise to send a Savior to crush the head of Satan through the seed of Eve. In other words, God promised that through the offspring of Eve, a Savior would be born. God sparing Noah was allowed that seed to continue so God's promise could be fulfilled. God could have blotted out every living thing, but instead he kept his promise to send a Savior through the seed of Eve. However, this isn't the only way that this points us back to Christ. As Josh mentioned last week, St. Augustine made a comparison between the ark and the cross. The ark was the thing that shielded and protected Noah from the flood. In a similar way, what Jesus did on the cross protects believers from the punishment of their sins and eternity in hell. With this comparison in mind, we can begin to see much different meaning of the ark. It wasn't just a big boat with a lot of animals on it. It was a symbol of the cross that God provided to sins. It was a reminder that God will keep his promises. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord so he could enter the ark because of his faithfulness to God. Can you imagine how crazy Noah would have seemed? Many scholars believe that up to this point in Scripture, it hadn't even rained before. And even if they're wrong and it had rained before, people were probably still thinking this guy's nuts. Like, he's building this big boat, he's putting all these people and animals on it, and he claimed that God was going to bring this huge flood and kill everything. However, notice again what verse 5 says. It says that Noah did all that God had commanded him. Guys, this would have taken faith. Noah couldn't see the rain clouds forming. He couldn't see actual proof that the flood would come, but still, he had faith. He had faith that God is going to keep his promises. And that's why he did all that the Lord had commanded him. The only thing that separated Noah from the rest of the wicked people was that he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was still sinful, and in a few weeks we'll read Genesis chapter 9, where Noah falls into sin by getting drunk and laying naked in a tent. God knew that Noah was going to sin, but still, Noah found righteousness in the eyes of the Lord. So why is Noah seen as righteous? He is seen as righteous because God revealed to him his sinfulness, and Noah believed that what God said when he said that a flood would come. Noah believed in God and had faith that God was going to provide the things that he needed to build the ark. So how does this apply to us? We're not Noah. Let me ask you this. Would God consider you righteous? Would you be on the ark if there was a flood today? Two things must be true if you say yes to this question. First, has God revealed to you your sinfulness? As Noah listened to the words that God said, he trusted God when he said that there was going to be a flood. For Noah to have this much faith to build a big boat, don't you think he would need to have an understanding that the world is sinful? After all, why was God sending the flood in the first place? Chapter 6, verse 13 says that God told Noah, "I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth." God revealed to Noah that the world was filled with violence. This violence is why God ends up sending the flood. In order for you to make it onto the boat, you must understand that you're sinful. All of us are wicked and deserve punishment for our sins. An understanding of this comes from God revealing our sins to us. Has he revealed the sin in your life? Has he revealed to you why there needs to be judgment at all? The second thing that must be true is you must choose to have faith in God. After Noah learned the wickedness of the world, God commanded him to build the ark. And what does verse 5 say? I've said it like 6 times now. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah had faith that God was going to keep his promises. Noah had faith that the ark was going to protect him from the flood. To bring up the comparison between the ark and the cross again, do you have faith that the blood of Jesus will protect you from the judgment of God? Do you have faith in the promises of God? Earlier I mentioned Romans 6:23. However, I didn't read the whole verse. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The word there, "but," that's huge. It is a reminder to us that God is providing a way out. He provided us with the cross in the same way that he provided Noah with the ark. If you want to be a child of God, if you want to be a Christian, you must put your faith in the name of Jesus Christ. This doesn't mean that you say a prayer one time at church camp and then go back to living the way that you were before. It doesn't mean that you go to church when it's convenient for you, or you put a Jesus sticker on your car. This means that you fully 100% turn your life over to Christ. You commit your life into his hands, and you admit that you are sinful and that you deserve to go to hell because of your sins. This means that you put your faith in Christ and understand that through him is the only way you won't spend eternity in hell. It doesn't matter how many good things you do, how much money you give away, or how many people you help. The only way you can be saved from eternity in hell is to put your faith in Christ. Guys, I mean, Michael Phelps couldn't have even made it through the flood. Like, and he's a good swimmer, but he still, you can't swim. You got to be on the ark. That's the only way to make it. You got to trust in Christ. That's the only way to make it. Have you done this? If so, then has your life been changed because of this? This applies to the believer and the unbeliever. Do you have as much faith as Noah? If God told you to build a boat, would you? If God told you to quit your job and to become a missionary, would you? Would God consider you righteous by faith alone? Noah understood these things. He put his faith in Christ because he believed in the certainty of God's judgment. So the second question is, do you believe in the certainty of God's judgment? Does the way that you live show that you believe 100% that God is going to one day judge all of us? Let's look at the other half of Genesis chapter 6 or 7. Since we have already read it, I will summarize it for you. I recommend that sometime you read it for yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your hearts. As I'm sure all of you remember learning about in Sunday school as a little kid, Noah builds the ark, he gets on it with his family, and then we learn that with two of every kind of the animal, that he has two of every kind of animal on the ark. Something that I want to briefly mention here is that we see God's sovereignty in all of this. Verse 15 and 16 says, they went into the ark with Noah, two and two, of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those who entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God commanded them. And the Lord shut him in. The first way that we see God's sovereignty is how the animals entered the ark. Have you guys ever tried to get two of every animal onto the ark? No? Oh, okay. First service, a couple people raised their hands. I had a little bit of doubt, but I've never tried to get two every kind of animal. I can't even get my little siblings in the car. I assume it was no easy task. But as I was studying this text, it occurred to me that it doesn't say that Noah went and gathered all the animals. Moses wrote that the animals went and got into the ark. I believe that God caused the animals to walk, or in some cases fly or slither, onto the ark. His hands were the whole time helping Noah to do what he was commanded him to do. This gives me hope, knowing that wherever God asks me to do, he'll provide the means necessary to do it. And the same is true for all of you. God's not going to call you to do something in your life and not make it possible. The second thing that shows us God's sovereignty is at the end of verse 17. It says, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. Guys, this shows that God sealed the fate of Noah and his family. He sealed the ark so that no one could get on or off. This reminds me of the way that God seals our fate. When we truly accept Christ as our Savior, our name is written in the book of life, and nothing can change that. We are sealed by the blood of Jesus. This shows us that ultimately God is in control. He sealed Noah into the ark for his safety. Verse 18 through 22 describes the flood. It rained for 40 days, and everything died. The only things that survived were the things on the ark. God's judgment was poured out on the world. Then chapter 7 ends with verse 23 and 24, which says that he blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, they were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him on the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. This really isn't fun to read. It just isn't. We see a very just side of God here. God's judgment is poured out on the things of this world. God kept his promise that he said when he said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, when he said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. God made thousands of promises throughout the Bible. Some scholars even say it was a grand total of 8,810 promises. Not once to this day has God ever broken any of those promises. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is a reminder that God will keep his promises. He doesn't say one thing and then do another. He does exactly what he says he's going to do. And this is seen throughout the Bible as well as in this section of Genesis. we see that God wiped out all the living things on the earth, just as he said he was going to do. But we also see that he kept his promise that he made to Adam and Eve back in Genesis chapter 3. He kept his promise that he would send a Savior through the seed of Eve. We all know that this is Jesus. Overall, I want all of you to remember that God is faithful to his promises. He doesn't go back on his word. So I'll ask again, do you believe in the certainty of God's judgment? The Bible says that one day we'll have to stand at the feet of God and receive judgment for our sins. If the thought of that doesn't terrify you, then I question whether or not you believe it to be true. I know that many people can't wait to be in heaven with Jesus, but we can't forget that there's serious consequences for our sin, the sin that we chose. We can't forget that there will come a day when God will judge us, a day when our sins will be revealed to us. Are you living in a way that shows that you believe this to be true? If you believe this, then it should change the way you live. You should be disgusted by your sin. Like Noah, it should lead us to repentance. It should lead us to live in a way contrary to this world. I'm sure a lot of people thought that Noah was crazy. But Noah had faith in God because he believed what God said. He believed that God was going to judge this world. So let me ask you again, is the same true for all of you here today? I want everyone here to close their eyes and bow their heads. I told you guys this wasn't going to be a very uplifting story, but I hope you see why Moses wrote this to the Israelites and how this applies to us today. By looking at Genesis chapter 7, we are pointed to the gospel. We are pointed to Jesus Christ. Noah was saved from the flood because God revealed him his sins. And he had faith that God was going to keep his promises. In a similar way, we can be saved by the blood of Jesus that was spilled on the cross for the payment of our sins. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that can protect you from the judgment of God. It is the only thing that can save you from spending an eternity in hell. How will the day of judgment end for you? Do you know for certainty where you're going to spend eternity? Thinking about the story of Noah's Ark should make you uneasy. If you were Noah, would you have been on the ark? Or would you have been killed by the waters of the flood? As I draw this service to a close, I want to address both the believer and the unbeliever. First, for the believer. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, I challenge you as you sit here this morning to allow God to reveal the areas that still need work in your life. Judgment Day is coming. We will all stand before God and answer for our sins. Ask God to prepare you for that day. Allow him to convict you of the sins in your life and to transform your mind and heart to be more like his. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus explains to his disciples that people remained unaware of the flood until the waters came. Jesus explains that in a similar way, the world will continue to be unaware of God's judgment until Judgment Day itself. If he has revealed a sin in your life, don't wait. Please don't wait. Turn to Christ. Allow him to change that desire. Allow him to change your heart. And allow him to lead you to be more like him. 2 Peter 3:9-10 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." This verse applies to the unbeliever and to the believer. It's a reminder that God doesn't want any of us to go to hell. But he gives us free will, and we've all chosen hell. So don't wait. If you're a follower of Christ and you have undealt with sin in your life, Invite God to address it. Allow Him to cause you to hate your sin and to lead to repentance. As we read through Genesis, we learn time and time again that we will fail if we try to beat sin on our own. But we have hope because we have the ark. We have Christ. If you're not a follower of Christ, but you feel something tugging on your heart, please don't wait. We never know how long we have left. Giving your life to Christ is the most important decision you will ever make. It is what determines where you get to spend eternity, whether in heaven or in hell. After hearing the word of God this morning, if you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you, if you feel like something's just not right, and as Caden talked about in his baptism video, if you just, you can't do anything but be led to action. If that's you, then would you just look up at me? Just where you're at. No one's looking around. Just look up at me so I can pray for you. I want to give everyone a few minutes today to reflect on the Word of God this morning. If anyone needs to come lay something at the cross, these steps are open. I'm here if anyone needs to pray or needs help determining what to do. This is your time. Wendy will continue to play, and then after we've had some time, I will close us in prayer.